from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you're driving to work, from work, or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball and we'll be right there with you for the drive. If your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on this podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email locked@lockedonpodcasts.com to get more details about increasing your business. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the state of the Giants' pitchers in 2019. Yesterday, we went through position by position, and today we're going to do the same thing with the pitching staff. Jumping right into it, overall on the season, the Giants' pitching has ranked among the worst in baseball and the worst in the National League. Starters and relievers combined, they have a 4.53 ERA, a 4.55 fielding independent pitching, and a 4.49 expected fielding independent pitching. So that's just a beautiful example, by the way, of how the peripherals tend to predict the ERA and that with a big enough sample, those three numbers tend to align. Again, the ERA 4.53, the fielding independent pitching 4.55. The only teams allowing home runs at a higher rate than the Giants overall are the Rockies and the Phillies, who both play in very small ballparks. But looking at this collectively doesn't really tell the whole story. It really changes when we break it down between starters and relievers. So looking at the starting pitching for the Giants this season, they have been the worst in baseball by Fangraphs WAR. Once again, the peripherals and the ERA matching up here, 4.99 ERA for the starting pitchers, 5.00 fielding independent pitching. The xFIP, which normalizes home run rate to the league average, is a little bit lower at 4.71. And honestly, that for the Giants is probably the more predictive number because we wouldn't expect them to be so bad at giving up home runs. We would expect a little bit of improvement in that area. But if they were just league average at allowing home runs, their ERA should be about 4.71 as a starting staff. The starters are allowing 1.66 home runs per nine innings, which is second worst in the National League, worse even than the Colorado Rockies starting pitchers. So anyway, now that we've talked about how the starting pitching has been very bad, before moving on actually to the individual players, I do want to mention that a lot of the narrative from spring training early in the season, there's like this delusion that the Giants always have great pitching, and you heard it from a lot of analysts, you heard it on the pre- and post-game shows early on in the season, how the offense was not good enough and they were just going to waste great pitching all season long. So the idea that the Giants have great pitching is a total delusion. The starting rotation, you could see that they were average at best entering the season. I think we're seeing a worst case scenario in some ways with the likes of Pomeranz and Holland being bad. But even if they were what you might have hoped for, then you're still looking at an average at best starting rotation. So just another example of kind of lazy analysis where you're not factoring in the ballpark. It's like saying the Rockies have a great offense year after year after year, when in reality, sometimes they don't, even though they play in Coors Field. Just because they score a lot of runs doesn't necessarily mean they have a great offense. So looking at the individuals who make up the Giants starting rotation, they've used nine different guys as starters. One opener, that was Nick Vincent, who pitched one inning. As we all know, they've been dreadful in the first inning this year. Teams literally have a 409 weighted on base average against the Giants in the first inning. That translates to a 302 average, 377 on base, 624 slugging. So these are just MLB worst numbers by a huge margin. To put that into perspective, there are only six hitters in MLB this season with weighted on base averages above 409. Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, Mike Trout, Charlie Blackmon, Pete Alonso, Josh Bell. So every single batter who's hit against the Giants in the first inning this year might as well have been Josh Bell, who's having an unbelievable season, career year, 648 slugging, just ridiculous numbers. So that is not a recipe for success. That 409 weighted on base average, highest in MLB, 624 slugging, by far the highest in MLB. The next closest team is at 518. They've allowed 30 homers in the first. The next closest team is the Orioles at 20. They've allowed 75 earned runs. The next closest team is the Mariners at 62. And then, of course, the ERA is 7.58, which is by far the highest in MLB. The Brewers are the next closest team at 6.13. So continues to be something they should try to do is use openers. I don't know why they only did it once and then gave up on it. You definitely can't decide it doesn't work based on one game. If I had to guess, I would say that Bochy doesn't like it. The players don't like it. And Bochy is a player's manager. So he's just kind of putting his foot down and saying that they're not going to do this. Because we have heard Farhan Zaidi say multiple times that they want their relievers to impact the game more often and sooner before the game gets out of reach. But the fact that they're not doing it tells me that Bochy's just not really on the same page there. Which is fine. I mean, it's probably a lost season. And next year, Farhan Zaidi's going to get to handpick a manager. And if it becomes something they want to do moving forward, they'll actually do it instead of having these conflicting philosophies between the manager and the front office. So looking at the starters specifically, Madison Bumgarner leads the team in Fangraph's WAR as a starting pitcher by quite a bit. Jeff Samardzija is second at 0.8. Bumgarner doubled that at 1.6. How does he do it? Well, his strikeout rate is back up. Walk rate is minuscule, allowing a little more home runs than you would like. But at the end of the day, he's been above average by a little bit in terms of ERA and peripherals. Samardzija, as you know, it's been a season-long battle for him between his ERA and his peripherals. At first, he was handily outperforming them, and then there was some massive regression where the ERA jumped almost all the way up to where the peripherals were predicting. But then in his last couple of starts, he's held it off. But looking at him and his 4.01 ERA, it still looks like there's quite a bit of room to go up to around 4.5. Sean Anderson has emerged as a solid contributor in the starting rotation. Pretty much every time he goes out there, gives you 5 or 6 innings, 2 or 3 runs. Not going to blow you away, but typically not going to let the game get out of hand like we've seen from Holland and Pomeranz and Derek Rodriguez. So his emergence is a positive so far on the season. Andy Suarez made a little bit of a cameo early on in the season and struggled in 10 innings. Tyler Beede has kind of been as advertised, and not necessarily in the good way. He's been inconsistent. He's definitely had some rough outings. He's shown promise. He certainly flashes promise on a consistent basis. But at the end of the day, he's walking almost 5 guys per 9 innings and allowing close to 2 home runs per 9 innings. So he has a 5.58 earned run average as a starter, with peripherals up there as well, 5.71 fielding independent pitching, 5.12 expected fielding independent pitching. This is one of those scenarios where you have to be a scout as well as someone who looks at the numbers. You see what's in there, and if he can only refine his command, that there's upside for much more than this, but still struggling to find that consistency. Derek Rodriguez very much fell off a cliff to start the season. He's thrown 41 innings as a starter and got lit up to the tune of a 5.05 ERA with peripherals that were even higher. Strikeout rate, super low. Walk rate, not so low, and allowing about 2 home runs per 9 innings. So he's another guy that, you know, a win for the peripherals, I hate to say it, but last year, really good ERA, peripherals screaming that there was regression coming, and then that regression hit hard this season. He's currently in the minor leagues. Derek Holland and Drew Pomeranz, both, you know, similar in that they're striking a lot of people out, which is normally a really good sign, but struggling with command kind of uncharacteristically for Holland. He was pretty good last year with command. Pomeranz has always had some command issues, and both really struggling with the home run ball, allowing close to 2.5 home runs per 9 innings. So they each have an ERA up around 6.5 with peripherals to match when you factor in the home run rate. But if you normalize the home run rate to the league average, they're looking more in the range of 4.5, but then you really have to get the home runs under control, which they have not been able to do. So yeah, the starting rotation has been a disappointment. In the minor leagues, Connor Menez is knocking down the door a little bit. We fully expect their best starting pitcher right now, Madison Bumgarner, will eventually get traded in the next 3 weeks, in which case you probably will see Menez, and then you have a very unproven and what already was a bad starting rotation losing its best performer, there's some potentially going to be some ugliness in that rotation. So this is an area where they're definitely going to have to try to get better. And it wouldn't shock me to see them target starting pitchers, young, controllable starting pitchers, as the deadline approaches. Moving on to the bullpen, it's a totally different story for the San Francisco Giants. They're third in the National League in Fangraphs WAR, third in ERA, first in fielding independent pitching, and fifth in expected fielding independent pitching. How do they do it? Well, they don't walk people and they don't give up too many home runs at all. They've got an 8% walk rate, which is third best in the National League, and their 1.05 home runs per nine is by far the best in the National League. They're also getting 46% ground balls, which is the second highest rate in the National League. So that explains in large part why they're able to limit home runs. So it's pretty much polar opposites here. We're looking at a starting staff who's among the worst in MLB, allowing so many homers, to a relief corps that is among the best in the National League and allowing the fewest homers of any team in any bullpen in the National League. They're headlined by Will Smith, who struggled yesterday in the All-Star game, gave up a home run, gave up another hard hit ball to third base that Mike Moustakas made a great play on, but doesn't really matter. He's having an unbelievable season, 1.98 ERA, peripherals to match, right around 2. Phenomenal strikeout rate, great walk rate, not giving up homers. Just an unbelievable season by Will Smith that we should have seen coming. I mean, he's exceeded expectations, but if you've been listening to the show, we said all along he was their best reliever. A lot of people wanted to anoint Reyes Maranta the best reliever on the team, hand him the closer's role, even though Will Smith was excellent last year in that role. But yeah, Will Smith has firmly convinced everyone, hopefully by now, that he is the best reliever on the Giants and probably their best trade chip as the July 31st deadline approaches. He's a free agent at the end of the year, so it makes all the sense in the world to move him. If you want to bring him back, you can trade him at the deadline and then re-sign him in the offseason. Sam Dyson having a very nice season as well. Minuscule walk rate, not allowing homers, tremendously high ground ball rate as well. Reyes Maranta, more of the same, lots of Ks, struggles a little bit with walks at times. Trevor Gott has been a very nice find for the Giants. He's kind of struggled more in the last few weeks. He was dynamite early on in the season. This is a case where the ERA doesn't really match up with what the other numbers are saying. He's got a 4.21 ERA, but a 3.26 fielding independent pitching. So we would expect him to improve again in the second half of the year. Mark Melancon, we've talked about him a lot on the show, has this problem with batting average on balls in play. Gives up a lot of contact, not a strikeout guy. And when they make contact, nobody has a higher rate of the contact against them going for hits than Mark Melancon ever since he put on a Giants uniform. This year, it's around 40%, and it's pretty much been that way ever since he put on the uniform. League average tends to be around 30% in that category. So he just is a giving up hits machine right now with the Giants. Want to also remind people that there was a lot of talk based on his 9 innings early on in the season when he had a 0 ERA, when it was clear, you know, the peripherals were saying what he was actually going to be. It's so much better to look at those than to read into the 0 ERA through 9 innings. I guess it's like a fun little thing to do, but it has no predictive relevance whatsoever. Travis Bergen is an interesting guy, Rule 5 pick, so he has to be on the Major League roster all season or else they have to offer him back to the Blue Jays. Looked pretty good early in the season, struggled a little bit, just hasn't thrown a lot of innings, kind of too soon to do a full evaluation, but they do seem committed to keeping him around. He's currently on the injured list with a shoulder strain, had a setback, could be one of those fake injury scenarios. I know they would never, never admit this, but just to kind of, they don't necessarily want to use him, but they do want to keep him. So expect them to continue to keep him on the roster just so they get to keep him in their system. Little bit of regression this year for Tony Watson. You wouldn't know it from the ERA, but the peripherals up around 4.5. Strikeout rate is way down from where it was last season, giving up a lot of home runs as well. We've also seen Derek Holland and Derek Rodriguez struggle in relief, throwing a combined like 45 innings or close to it. So those guys haven't really been helped by going to the bullpen. Want to just mention here too that relief pitching is an area where the Giants have depth, including minor league depth. So it makes all the sense in the world, again, to trade Will Smith, an impending free agent, to trade potentially Sam Dyson, Tony Watson, if there's a real market for him. Because not only do they have other guys at the major league level capable of filling in and taking over those innings, but the guys who would come up from AAA or elsewhere are also seemingly capable of filling those roles without getting too much worse. So if you can improve in another area where you do not have a lot of depth, it makes tons of sense to do so. Ray Black, currently on the Major League roster, projected by Steamer at a 3.13 ERA for the rest of the season. Sam Selman in AAA, a guy they picked up in the offseason, projected at a 3.36 ERA. Black's ERA projection is the second best among Giants relievers. Selman's 3.36 ERA is projected to be the third best, behind only Smith and Black. Reyes Maranta has a worse ERA projection than Sam Selman. Fernando Abad is another left-handed pitcher the Giants picked up in the offseason on a minor league deal, having a very strong season and has a good projection moving forward. Williams Jerez is another guy who has a pretty solid ERA projection. Traded in the Chris Stratton deal, Stratton was DFA'd by the Angels shortly after they acquired him for Williams Jerez, so another low-key good addition by the Giants front office. You've also got a good projection from Yandel Gustave. So look for the Giants to be especially active with trading relief pitchers in the next 3 weeks, especially relievers off the Major League roster. But you could see guys like Selman and Abad also traded. Those are guys who probably could be providing high-quality major league innings right now, but the Giants have such depth in that area that they're forced to stay in the minor leagues. But it was reported that teams are even interested in acquiring those guys from the minors. So just another total feather in the cap of Farhan Zaidi, just improving the organizational depth one good baseball move at a time. So these are moves that don't get a lot of mainstream attention, but definitely go noticed within the industry. So coming up tomorrow, we'll have another episode talking about the best moments of the year for the Giants and the worst moments of the year for the Giants. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll mix in the good and the bad, so it won't be too depressing. But remember, to get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider leaving a review and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.